By the summer of 1999, me, Precious, and Stacia, all 12 years old, ran around in this tight formation, snapping through the block in neon colors like a school of tropical fish. Sometimes you'd catch us flowing through the masses of guys in white tees on a quick trip to buy candy from Miss Rose, or at Food and Liquor. There were dudes draped around the building's opening, standing guard in the parking lot, the tunnel inside the building leading to the stairway, everywhere, really. All the spaces around the building belonged to them, but we had our own spot, and for the longest time, no one bothered us there. If you drove up the 9094, a highway built to separate blacks and whites without Jim Crow language, the Robert Taylor homes loomed off to the side of your car. The buildings stared you down, their windows like eyes, watching. Off the highway, on State Street, the number 29 bus would take you on a ghetto tour, passing all those projects. You would see building after building and people just standing around. Half the structures were off-white, the other ones rust-colored, and they'd alternate. Red buildings, then a few white, then red, then white, then red, and it would go on like that for 2 miles. From the exterior, these brick towers shot up 16 stories in the air, with neat rows of windows on one side, and on the other, iron gates running the length of each floor, creating an opportunity for the residents to see out into the world and for people outside to catch a glimpse of project life. The elevator moved up and down the middle of each building in an enclosed column of brick. And that's where my friends and I gathered, on the third floor, in that covered square of space. Though it housed the elevators, it was also spacious enough for people to carry their trash and large items they needed to dispose of. We were grateful for its large, smooth cement floor, wide enough for our crew to run around, and most importantly, to jump rope. I watched the traffic flow in and out and around the square. That summer, all these new faces popped up. They had moved from closed-up high-rises. On both sides of us, up and down State Street, there were blocks that looked like someone had dropped a bomb, leaving the destruction of brick towers. The wires clawed out from the sides of the high-rises that were ripped open, exposing colorful walls of vacated apartments. It seemed random. The Chicago Housing Authority's choice of which buildings to destroy first. Some blocks, like mine, were completely intact, others a mess. I'd seen these horror scenes from the State Street bus on trips downtown and knew that the construction vehicles would appear on our block someday, but someday could be translated into never when you're a kid. Once a building had been attacked, falling apart in this way, the residents were already settled into other project buildings or out in other parts of the city. Some people were relocated into my building, 4950. I kept an eye on these strangers, but always watched for this one girl. She walked up and down the stairs all day. I couldn't tell her grade, mostly because she had a body all curved and rounded out like a grown woman. I bet that summer she had developed fast, because she seemed to be bursting out of what was probably a free Dare t-shirt she'd gotten at school. Some girls love to show off their bodies, but she didn't have that kind of energy. Instead, she acted more like a small, timid child. We didn't look like her. Stacia and I were bony, with no curves at our hips and bumps for breasts. Precious hadn't shed her baby fat and still looked like a little kid. Even Tanya's skin color was different. Her complexion was a few shades darker than Precious's, but still considered light, while Stacia and I were much darker. The four of us represented a gorgeous spectrum of tones. She'd walk down the stairs, then I'd see her coming up again a few minutes later. The building served breakfast in the summertime on the first floor, so tons of people went by in the mornings going to Chokes. That's what everybody called the food, though it actually wasn't that bad. Sometimes, only 10 minutes passed between her coming and going. Other days, I wouldn't see her again until night. She rarely looked over at the square. It was like she couldn't even see us. Then one day, as she passed our floor, she slowed down a little and looked over at us, as if she was going to say something, then she kept marching up the stairs. I let go of both ends of the rope and ran after her. I caught up with her on the stairway landing between the third and fourth floors and shouted, "What's your name?" She turned around, raised